They say that truth is stranger than fiction. Maybe you've heard that phrase before, perhaps coined by the poet George Gordon, Lord Byron. He wrote these words, "'Tis strange but true, for truth is always strange, and stranger it is than fiction." Some years later, the author Mark Twain wrote, "'It's no wonder that truth is stranger than fiction, because fiction has to be believable.'" And how true that is. Sometimes in the world around us, we observe things, we hear stories, and we say, that's strange. That sounds like somebody made that up. I read a statistic recently about sharks. Did you know that more people are bitten each year by New Yorkers than by sharks? Strange, but true. Maybe you read in the news about the woman who joined a search party that was looking for herself. Yes, this actually happened. She was on a tour group in Iceland, and the tour group was viewing the scenery out in the countryside. She excused herself for a moment to visit the ladies' room and freshen up. Some minutes later, she came back to hear the tour group leader describing that they were missing one of their party. And he gave a description of the woman who was missing. And this woman did not recognize her description. So she jumped in with the rest of the group, and literally all day and all night with vehicles and volunteers until at 3 o'clock the following morning, the Coast Guard was ready to send up a search helicopter, and just at that moment they looked around and realized, you're the woman we're looking for. Strange, but true. You know, that story sounds as if it was specially crafted to be a sermon illustration. You know what I mean? I've heard about people going out into the world to find themselves. But that's taking it a little too far. Strange. And it's just like our passage here tonight in Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 19. We read a story that's really strange. It sounds like a fable when we read this story. It sounds like there should be a moral at the end of the story. It sounds like it was specially designed to be a preaching illustration, but no, it's not a parable. It's not fiction. It's true. Luke 17, verses 12 through 19, we read a story about a group of lepers who were cleansed by Jesus, healed, rescued from a death sentence, and literally given back their lives. And how strange that they couldn't stop to say thank you. That's strange. Strange. But you know, my friends, tonight, if we want to see something strange, we don't have to look any farther than our own mirror. And I'm not referring to physical appearance. You know, the fact is, how strange for blood-bought children of God, rescued from the penalty of sin, the promise of a home in heaven, to not stop and give thanks. That is strange. You know, we need to give thanks. Tonight, my friends, you and I, we need to give thanks. We need to say thank you, because that is where the blessing is found. Let's take a look at this passage, please. I'll read it. You can follow along in your own copy of the scripture. Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 19, and we'll see here how important it is that we need to give thanks in our lives. Beginning reading in verse 12, "And as he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, that stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." We need to give thanks. We don't want to be one of those 9, my friends. We want to be that one who had the heart of gratitude, who said, thank you, and found the blessing of this meeting with Jesus. I want to emphasize tonight quickly 3 points that I believe Luke, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, is emphasizing in these last few phrases of this story. I want us to see, first of all, that thankfulness is rare. Secondly, that thankfulness is reverential. And finally, thankfulness is rewarded. First of all, thankfulness is rare. Thankfulness is rare. Once again, strangely, Luke, the author of this story, emphasizes numbers and statistics for us. Now, can somebody help me here tonight? Is there anyone here this evening who's good at math? I mean, expert. I mean, you're really good. Your friends call you the walking calculator. Anybody like that? Okay, well, I guess I'll have to settle with all the rest of you then. Here's my question. This is a math question for you. How many lepers were there in this story? Anyone? 10. How many lepers did Jesus cleanse? Anyone? 10. Now, what is that percentage? 10 out of 10 is what percentage? 100%. And you see, Luke is, by emphasizing these numbers, he is emphasizing the reality of the works of Jesus. When Jesus does something, he does it right. 100%. You know, we read in Mark chapter 7, when some people were observing Jesus performing miracles, they said, "He hath done all things well." Mark chapter 6, when Jesus fed the 5,000, we read there were 12 baskets full of fragments left over. And preachers love to emphasize the thorough, miraculous work of Christ. You know what amazes me, though? In Mark chapter 6, it says they were all filled. The men, the women, and my friends, hold on, the children. Now look, I've been to I don't know how many church potluck dinners in my lifetime. And I'll tell you something, if you can feed the men, you've done something. If you can feed the women, you've succeeded. But if you can satisfy the children, that's a good dinner. That's a good dinner. Mom comes through the line. On her plate, you find a sandwich, a little selection of vegetables right there. Dad comes through. He has 2 sandwiches and maybe a little slice of pizza. Junior comes through, 3 foot nothing, and he's got a balanced meal of a full plate in both hands. And now he's going to get desserts. Well, we have fun and we joke and we kid, but that's what the Bible says. They were all filled. When Jesus does it, nobody leaves hungry. 10 out of 10, my friends. 100%. I want to ask you another math question. Out of those 10, how many returned to give thanks to Jesus? How many?
One.
Now, what's that percentage? 1 out of 10? What's that percentage? Yeah, it's 10%. 10%. Do we all say 10? Okay, good. Good, we've passed. 10%. I'm afraid, once again, what Luke is telling us here by emphasizing these numbers, I'm afraid, once again, that really reflects reality. I wonder if in your life and in mine, I wonder if we even rise to the level of 10%. I wonder, of all the blessings that God has showered upon us, I wonder if we have even given thanks for 10%. You know, I wonder if all the people that God has sent our way to be ministers to us, I wonder if we've thanked even 10% of those people. I wonder as well if we spend 10% as much time thanking God as we do begging Him and telling Him what we need from Him. We pray for a year, God provide, God provide, God provide. We're so faithful to say, God give me, God give me, God I need. Then He gives us the provision we've been asking for, and how much time do we spend saying thank you? A year? Or a day? Or perhaps a full minute? Do we even rise to the level of 10%? I wonder. I've told this story before. It came home to me many years ago when I was a much younger person on a missions trip to Mexico, and we were trying to cross the border, trying to get through with a busload of Bibles, and there the officials, they didn't like what we were carrying. They gave us some trouble, and I was just a young person in the group just observing what was happening. And we got together and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed about it right there at the border for some time, till eventually something happened. The officials said, "Okay, we approve you. You can go through." And I just remember how striking it was as we went through. We were so happy and we were rejoicing. God answered our prayer, but we never stopped to have a prayer meeting after God answered our prayer. We had been passionate about it beforehand, but how much time did we spend afterward? 10%? Even 10% of that time? We pray for months, years. Do we pause to give God thanks? I've observed this, and this is just my personal observation. I've observed that sometimes we grow too casual and too used to the people nearest us. If there's any children in here tonight, I want to speak to you just for a moment. Children, we need to say thank you to our parents. I want to tell you about this. It's difficult to understand the sacrifice that a parent goes through if you're not one. It's hard to understand that, but just take it from me. It's enormous, and you need to say thank you. I'm mentioning this because I feel that to those who are most familiar to us, we neglect thankfulness perhaps most often. We get used to mom and dad. We forget to actually say thank you. So kids, I'm talking to you right now. You need to say thank you to your parents. With your mouth, you need to say those words, thank you. You need to do that. That's where the blessing is found. Now, it's well and good to say, oh, I feel thankful. I like my parents. I love my parents. I appreciate them. I'm telling you tonight, you need to tell them. You need to use your mouth and say thank you. I'm not saying that because your parents need to hear it. They would appreciate it. I'm saying it because you need to say it. That's where the blessing is found, as we see right here in this passage. I'm afraid sometimes as well, it's really, really rare for one sibling to thank another. I'm only just touching on these points because I'm making practical observations. You know, it's even more rare than a child saying thank you to a parent is a child saying thank you to a sibling. That's rare. That's rare. Huh, my sister, she's not worthy of thanks. Trust me. No, I'm not arguing. I'm not disagreeing. No, but it's your heart that's at stake. Where's your heart at? Are you a thankful person? I got to say, it's easy as a spouse. For me, it's easy as a husband to neglect to say thank you to my wife. You know, just we get used to each other. We have our routines. We have our roles. We do what we do, and it's fine, and we appreciate each other on the inside, but, you know, thank you. Thank you. We need to express that. These are the people that God uses as channels of blessing to us. We need to recognize that. When we're saying thank you to them, at the same time, we're saying thank you to Him. We need to do that. It's what we need to do. We need to say thank you. So the first point we're looking at here in Luke chapter 17, thankfulness is rare. Statistically speaking, it's rare. It's rare. How infrequently do we remember to actually say thank you? Number two, it is reverential. Thankfulness is reverential. You know, Luke emphasizes these numbers, but there's something else that Luke emphasizes. He emphasizes the motivation of this one formerly leprous person who comes back to say thank you. In a couple of verses here, verse 16, Luke gives us this note: he was a Samaritan. And then in verse 18, Jesus said, nobody came back to say thank you except for this stranger. I don't have to tell you about the Samaritans and their relationship with the Jews and how strained it was and how much it was characterized by animosity. You remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well told in John chapter 4, and how when Jesus spoke to her, she expressed wonder. She said, why are you speaking to me being a Samaritan? Because Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. That's the kind of relationship that the Jews and Samaritans had. And then Jesus uses this word, a stranger. That's an interesting word. That word was not even used in the classical Greek of those days, but it's used all over the Bible to describe somebody who was a foreigner, somebody who didn't fit in, was not part of the culture. They were from outside. So why did this one come back to say thank you and the others did not? I'm afraid it's because he was the only one who recognized he did not deserve it. Thankfulness is reverential. Thankfulness is when I say, God, of all the blessings you've given me, I'm not worthy of the smallest one. Not one. These other Jewish men, they said, well, we've been healed. That's what we deserve. Of course he should help us. This Jewish rabbi, he's healing everybody else. Let's go. Here's a Samaritan who recognized that should not have happened. I didn't deserve that. To bring the practical application home, I reflect on my own life and lack of thankfulness, and I truly believe that we can call it what we might. We can call it forgetfulness. We can blame our busy schedule, but the truth is, when I don't pause to say thank you, it is because, essentially, I believe that I deserved the blessing. You know, I pray for health, and I tell God, I need health, I need my health, it's what I need my health, and then God gives health after I prayed, and I say, well, that's the way things ought to be. And I don't stop and say thank you, because I believe that that is what I deserve. I look to God for provision and pray, God, give me the provision I need. And he gives it, and I say, well, that's how it ought to be. Somebody does me a favor, a compliment, a gift, something of that nature that comes from human hands, and I think, well, that's what I deserve. Not this Samaritan, not this stranger. Friends, forgetfulness, busyness, it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse. If you have someone that you need to thank, that should be number one on the to-do list. Not just fit it in if we get a chance. I'm not talking about practical tips right now. I'm saying this is biblical. This is recognizing where our blessings come from. Of all the people in the world, Christian people should be the most grateful and should express thanks the most, because we know we don't deserve it and we know to whom goes the credit. Pastor recently preached on joyfulness. He said, Christian people should be joyful. Nobody in the world should outjoy a Christian person. You know, my friends, nobody in the world should outthank you as a Christian person. Nobody in the world should be more thankful and express gratitude more than you and I. We know that every good gift comes from above. Our lost friends and family, they don't know that. They don't know how to genuinely return thanks. We do. We ought to do it. So thankfulness is rare. 1 out of 10, that I'm afraid really reflects reality. Thankfulness is reverential. We put ourselves in a position where we recognize we don't deserve it. It's so remarkable to me how often we pray, Lord, and then we tell them what to do. But we recognize, when we say thank you, we recognize who is in charge and what we truly deserve and do not deserve. Thankfulness is reverential. Finally, thankfulness is rewarded. Of course, this one Samaritan, he came back and he spoke with Jesus. I want you to notice again how Luke uses particular terms in this passage to emphasize this point that thankfulness is rewarded. Would you notice with me in the last portion of the story, verse 14, verse 15, and again in verse 17, 3 times Luke describes the healing of these lepers. He says they were cleansed. He says they were healed. Those 3 words are medical terms. Luke was a physician. The Greek scholars tell us that Luke included a lot of discussion of medical terminology and medical practice. And so these 3 terms, they're all medical terms. They have to do with the physical healing of these lepers. And then finally, at the end of the story, verse 19, Jesus says to this man, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. But that's a different term, a completely different term. That term is not dealing with medical healing. It's talking about a spiritual process. That's the term for saved right there, for salvation. It's the exact same term that Jesus used when he healed a blind man in the city of Jericho. He said, go thy way, thy faith has saved thee. It's the same term that Jesus used when he spoke to an adulterous woman who was weeping and washing his feet with her hair. And Jesus didn't even perform a miracle at all in that instance, but he said to the woman, go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee. Same term as we find right here in Luke 17. And then in Matthew chapter 1, when the angel spoke to Joseph, he said, be sure that you name the baby Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So I trust tonight, my friends, I trust you see that what this man received was not physical healing only. What he received was a very personal experience with Jesus. Now, all 10 lepers were healed, 100%. You don't see Jesus taking back his healing when they didn't say thank you. You don't read that here that the nine ran off and Jesus said, well, if that's your attitude, I take it back. No, they received blessings from God. But this one received something special. And really, this is what I'd love for us to remember tonight, that in the place of thankfulness, that's where we find the blessing. That's where we truly meet with Jesus. There was something special that this man received, a certain kind of salvation that the others did not receive. And how did that happen? Because he was thankful. Because he simply said thank you. And that application for you and me tonight is so clear. When we can get beyond the place where these other nine were, these other nine lepers are here, no doubt they've prayed, no doubt they've begged. At the very least, when they saw Jesus, they asked him, please, give us healing. And he gave them what they wanted, and they were happy about it. We need to get beyond that place to where we're praying to God and just saying, God, give me stuff. God, give me stuff. And when God gives us stuff, we're happy. We need to move beyond that to where this one was. He had the healing, he had the blessing, he had the answer to prayer, but he had Jesus himself. We need to be in the place where in our Christian life we can say it doesn't matter what God gives or what God takes away, as long as I have him, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Like the Apostle Paul writing from Roman imprisonment saying, I have all and abound. I am full. Why, Paul? Because I have Christ. That's where this one man was. He was in that position, a position of blessing in his life, a personal relationship, a personal experience with Jesus that came about purely because he was thankful. So I ask you tonight, the Holy Spirit, no doubt, can make this more clear to personal hearts than I can. And maybe the Lord is speaking to us and saying, you know, there's that person you should have thanked, but you didn't. You had good intentions, maybe you forgot, you got busy. But you need to say thank you. You need to express thanks. At this Thanksgiving season of the year, with the opportunity for remembrance coming up next week, it may be the Lord is just simply reminding us, look how much I have done for you and how little you've said thank you. Now that's strange. That's strange for a Christian person to not be able to pause and say thank you. Psalm 100, verse 4, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Colossians 3, verse 15, and be ye thankful. We need to be thankful. We need to say thank you. That's where the blessing is found. In 1996, there was a pastor from the state of North Carolina who was traveling on a short-term missions trip. And there on the mission field, he was helping to conduct a service. At the conclusion of that service, he asked the congregation, is there anyone here who has a favorite hymn that you would like to sing? And as he told the story, there was a woman whom he had not noticed before who turned to face him. And he noticed that woman had no nose. She had no ears. Most of her lips were missing. She was a leper. And he said it was the most hideous face he had ever seen. To get his attention, she raised her fingerless hand, and she said, I'd like to sing a song. I want to sing, Count Your Many Blessings. You might say, that's strange. For a woman in that situation, in that condition, to want to count her blessings, that's strange. But how much more strange it is for you and for me to not count our blessings. We need to say thank you. Let's bow together for prayer. Let's take a moment, shall we? Just a quiet moment with our heads bowed, eyes closed, in a spirit and attitude of worship. Frankly, I've been reflecting on this text for the last two or three days, and it's remarkable to me how the more I think about it, the more the Lord brings things to mind. You know, I missed an opportunity to say thank you, to be thankful. I need to take care of that. It seems to me I could spend the rest of my life making up for lost time. But That would be all right. Saying thank you, that's where the blessing is found. Maybe tonight the Lord's working on your heart. You just need to take a moment. Just come to the front. We'll just have a quick moment. Time for invitation, time for prayer. And a commitment you need to make to be thankful. Let's stand together for prayer with our heads still bowed, eyes closed. Father, we thank you for the many remarkable blessings you've given to us and how often we fail just to simply return thanks. Lord, for any tonight who need to make a decision, who need to say thank you to you, Lord, would you work in our hearts? Would you help us?